We just heard from Mary from Cass Lake about the world of nature, I guess. She says, good morning. Mama Swan was off the nest for a while yesterday. Now it's back on it. Is this normal?
Yeah, the swans, you have to assume they know what's normal. I wouldn't venture a guess. How long was she off the nest? It was a fairly warm day yesterday, so maybe she didn't feel the need to incubate for that period, or maybe the young have hatched and they're covered in down. And believe me, she would be watching that nest very closely, even if she weren't on it. We'll have more of such discussions coming up because we are about to launch into our student phenology reports. These are probably among our last reports from the students for this year as the school year is coming to a close. But we encourage you, if you're maybe a camp counselor or maybe you work with children during the summer and you get them outside, we would hope that you would find the time to maybe record some of their observations and send them to us. We would love to have notes from across the state and across the country, for that matter, on activities that children are doing outside. So if you've got charge of children over the summer and you want to entertain them a little bit, get them doing some phenology and have them pass it along to us. We would love to receive it. Funding for student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Phenology talkbacks are produced by Charlie Mitchell. Our first report comes from Michelle Martin's class at Prairie Creek Community School in Northfield, Minnesota.
Hi, this is Michelle Martin from Prairie Creek Community School, way down south in Northfield, Minnesota. Today we have a report from all of the herons and two special guests. We hope you enjoy.
Hi, this is Ruby. Watch out for baby birds hatching.
Hi, this is Sophie, and watch out for bunny kits.
Hi, this is Charlie. Watch out for owls fledging.
Hi, this is John. Watch out for a classroom of little phenologists.
Hi, this is Silas, and watch out for hummingbirds.
Hi, this is Kaya. Watch out for monarchs.
Hi, this is Amelia. Watch out for cardinals.
Hi, this is Jimmy. Watch out for budbreak.
Hi, this is Maysoon. Watch out for the new flowers.
Hi, this is Betty. Watch out for butterflies.
Hi, this is Sienna. Watch out for wildflowers.
Hi, this is Anne. Watch out for bunny kits.
Hi, this is Jackson. Watch out for fawns.
Hi, this is Vigo. Look out for orioles.
Hi, this is Blake, and watch out for the birds.
Hi, this is Eric. Watch out for bats.
Hi, this is Sebastian. Watch out for snakes.
Hi, this is Arlo. Watch out for animals.
Hi, this is Anita. Watch out for magnolia flowers.
Hi, this is Andrew. Watch out for toads and frogs.
Hi, this is Finley. Watch out for robins, herons, and kestrels.
Hi, this is Ravi, and watch out for toads.
This has been Prairie Creek Community School. One more step along the phenology journey.
We had a great time with those kids. We took a long walk in the wet, dew-covered grass down there. I think every one of us was probably wet to the knees at the end of the hike, but it was delightful. We saw lots of different plants. I had the opportunity to examine some walnut trees very close up. Very unusual buds on those trees. I didn't see them in bud. I saw them leafed out or beginning to leaf out. The one thing that I did notice about the area, it is very verdant. I mean, you look outside here, and right now the predominant color is green, but there are little dots of green here and there around the north part of the state. In Northfield, it is just a blanket of green. Every plant that I looked at looked like it had leaves fully extended. So pretty amazing change in the 3 weeks or so that differ between there and here. And we'll check in with them more in the future. They are going to be back and keep us informed come next year. So stay tuned for more from the Prairie Creek Community School. That, you know, the one of the really amazing things with Prairie Creek is that the teacher has fourth and fifth graders in the same classroom. And there were roughly 20 students there. Half would be fourth grade and half would be fifth grade. And the fifth graders will graduate and move on to a new school, but the fourth graders will go to the fifth grade and they will be able to train in the new group of phenologists, which is probably one of the reasons why their phenology reports are so superior. They just have that advantage of doing it for 2 years, and not to mention the fact that they have a fantastic teacher in Michelle, and she just makes sure that they get out and notice everything. So it was a great experience. Our next report comes from the Phenology Club at Oak Grove Elementary School in Bloomington.
Hi, this is
Lindsay,
Nora,
Carly,
and
Layla,
reporting from Oak Grove Elementary, Bloomington, Minnesota.
This week's weather has been both sunny and cloudy with a high of 83 degrees and smoky from the Canadian wildfires. With our animal observations, Carly noticed a red fox. Lindsay saw lots of bunnies.
With our plant observations, we planted a ginkgo tree and a Kentucky coffee tree. Also, we learned that ginkgo tree's fruit smells like rotten butter.
We are wondering why we know that the animals are out, but we are not seeing them.
That's all for today. Stay tuned for the next OG Phenology Club Nature episode. We got a dee da da oh.
Yeah, stay tuned for the next OGE Phenology Club Nature episode, indeed. Wondering, we know that the animals are out. Yes, we do. They are. They have emerged. But animals, as is their nature, they are cautious. They have. There are those animals that are the prey species, and they are extra cautious because they're looking out for those things that would eat them, the predators. And the predators are watching out, looking for those animals that they will prey upon. But they're all watching out for humans because they know that we represent a danger to them. And even though we may not hold that feeling in our hearts, their experience is that human interactions with humans are deleterious toward them. And so they tend to stay away. I'm reminded of the bobcat, which is a common wild animal in Minnesota and yet seldom seen. I drove a million miles on the mail route, 30,000 miles for 35 years. And I saw maybe two coyotes in that whole time, or two bobcats in that whole time. They just do not, they hear you coming and they hide, and they're good at it. And so are a lot of other wild animals. So they're out there. You're right. They are there. And seeing them sometimes is just a bit of luck, being in the right place at the right time. Our next report comes from Chad Caddett's class at Little Falls Middle School.
This is Bethany and Harper reporting for Mr. Caddett's class in Little Falls Middle School. This is our phenology report for the week of May 19th.
It is an exciting time of year as the trails in the woods are completely different from week to week.
Lilacs and violets have taken over our yards, trilliums in the woods, and yellow rocket in the fields and ditches this week.
There are large swarms of insects, possibly midges, that are easily visible in yards and open areas, and large groups of turkey vultures soaring around the river each afternoon.
The ovenbirds are one of the loudest birds singing in the woods and are joined by a chorus of toads and frogs.
The tree leaves have really grown this week, and the red oak flowers are very long on the trees.
Green darners are chasing insects, and we've even spotted a group of blue jays mobbing and chasing after a crow.
This week we spotted an eastern towhee, American redstart, a great catbird, and a great crested flycatcher, and are surprised that the juncos are still here.
It is interesting to see how many different species of insects are utilizing the dandelions for food.
We discussed how to tell male and female Jack and the Pulpit apart and their interesting lives, and also how the beltwort got its name, Uvularia.
We are starting to see more ducklings along with goslings that were here last week.
That is our report for this week. Until next week, keep exploring, keep discovering, and keep connecting with the great outdoors.
Thank you, Bethany. Thank you, Harper. Nice job. Lots of good notes in there. Oven birds are... I was out on the 4th of May with a birding group and stood with Mark Jacobs and a couple of other fellows of my vintage, and they asked me if I could hear the oven bird calling, and I could not. And I was a bit dismayed because the oven bird is one of the louder birds out there. I was thinking, why can't I hear it? Well, it was quite a ways away, it turns out. And they were able to hear it just by superior hearing, but the oven birds were also quite removed from our location. I have heard oven birds this past week and realized that it isn't a fault of my hearing up close. You get an oven bird close enough to me and I will hear it. And they have been calling at my house as well. Trees really have grown. The red oak flowers at my house are, the male flowers are distended, and I was able to knock pollen loose yesterday. Female flowers on the red oaks. If you have a red oak in your yard, go out and look. And look in the axils, that is the joint where the leaf comes off of the new growth. So don't look at the woody brown stem. Look at the new green stem that is brand new and just pushed out. And follow that stem out, and you will see these little red curlicues kind of hidden in amongst those stems. And those are the female flowers of the red oaks. Green darners are definitely chasing insects, and I've been seeing a lot of other dragonflies as well. So keep an eye out for them. This week, eastern towhee. I have not seen an eastern towhee here in northern Minnesota, but I know that they come here. I've just not been in the right spot, I guess. American redstart, gray catbird, great crested flycatcher. All of those birds are hanging around and calling. And juncos are still being seen in the area. There are some juncos who nest in this area. Not very many. Most of them go into Canada, but there are a few that nest this far south, sort of the bottom edge of the group. Like, this seems far enough. I think I'll just build a nest right here. So it is not impossible to see juncos this time of year, but you won't see the big flocks. And ducklings and goslings are out for sure. I've seen a number of pictures of them myself, and they are getting around and having a good time. It's time to turn back to our phenology reports from our students, and we're going to pick it up with a report from the St. Andrew's Catholic School's trip to the Long Lake Conservation Center near Palisade. Funding for our student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Phenology talkbacks are produced by our own Charlie Mitchell.
This is Michaela
and Marianne
from St. Andrew Catholic School in Elk River. During our outdoor school trip to Long Lake Conservation Center on May 13th through the 15th, the low temperature was 37 degrees Fahrenheit and the high was 66. Long Lake's two pairs of Canadian geese and goslings, one pair had five goslings and the other two. Both families hung out together and were very protective of the little yellow fuzzballs, keeping them near at all times. Our group saw a lot of bumblebees and flies. The bumblebees were mostly on dandelions. We also saw a beaver and snapping and painted turtles.
One of the highlights of the trip was seeing a black bear on the opposite side of the lake. During our canoe adventure, we saw a nesting loon and a second loon diving under the water fishing for perch. One person had a moth land on his hand in the bog. There's a lot of bird activity and singing. Sightings include a tree swallow nesting in a chickadee box, house sparrows, downy and hairy woodpeckers, orioles, bluebirds, and blue jays. The worms are actively making soil in the woods, and we saw big chunky worm balls. Our group also saw lots of squirrels and chipmunks. They were observed eating tree nuts and even leftover pancake. We didn't know squirrels ate pancakes. We also saw spiders and unfortunately a few ticks and mosquitoes. Nature is bursting with wildlife, and we want to remind everyone to unplug, get outside, and live connected!
Thank you, yes. Michaela and Marianne, good job. Great report. Bumblebees, boy, we had an interview with a woman talking about bumblebees 2 weeks ago, I believe it was. And at that time, it was only the queens. But yesterday when I was out, I saw so many bumblebees that it's impossible that they are all queens. So some of the colonies are already established, as this young lady told us. The queen will lay up to about 10 eggs and then tend those eggs until they mature and come out as live bees, and then send those bees out to do the gathering of nectar and pollen in order to keep the hive going. So I think that moment has come, because yesterday there were lots and lots of the orange-tailed, red-tailed bumblebee, I think they call it. And nesting loon, that's always important. We hope they will have success, as did the geese already. And the worm, the big clunky, chunky worm balls on the soil surface. And worms do mix the soils quickly. But when they do, they promote a different kind of a flower than is likely to be found if the worms were not there. So there are flowers, plants that have evolved to survive in a nice layer of duff of rotting leaves and soil beneath. And those plants have a tough time living in an area where the worms quickly come up and consume those and mix that soil up. And you don't get that layer of duff. You simply get a layer of dirt or rich soil, really. I mean, it is very rich soil. But those plants that are evolved to grow in the duff are not surviving. And usually what does survive, what predominates, is a sedge called Pennsylvania sedge. So keep an eye out for that kind of stuff. We're going to fit in one more report this morning before we tune back to the news. And we'll complete the group's reports coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. So stay tuned for those. But our next report comes from Ricori School District's trip to the Long Lake Conservation Center near Palisade.
This is Ivy and Avery from Cold Spring, Richmond, and Rockville Elementary in Ricori District. During our outdoor school field trip to Long Lake Conservation Center on May 16th and 17th, the low temperature was 42 degrees Fahrenheit, and the high temperature was a season high 79. Other than the beautiful spring weather, the highlight of our trip was encountering the season's first fawn. Our group was hiking in the woods and left the trail to dodge puddles when we found a newborn fawn curled in the grass. It was really cool. We all took a quick look and a few pictures and left it alone, knowing that Mom was probably nearby looking on nervously.
The warm weather has been great for flora and fauna. Marsh marigolds are blooming in the bog. In the woods, fiddleheads ferns have been emerged and are around 12 inches tall. And wood anemones and trilliums are blooming. Our group also saw frogs, slugs, and a chipmunk stuffing its mouth with nuts. A doe running across campus, a gardener snake on a log, a bald eagle flying over the lake, and a baby toad. The woods are still a little muddy, but the ticks are out like crazy. It's the beginning of baby critter season, a great time to explore, and we want to remind everyone to unplug, get outside, and live connected.
Thank you, Ivory. Avery, nice report. We really appreciate that. Boy, you had a great time at Long Lake. You got to see a fawn, which is a really new one. I mean, they're just coming out. Marsh marigolds, cowslips blooming, Fiddlehead ferns emerge. And wood anemones. That's a tough word. It's a tough word for me even. And trilliums are definitely blooming out there. Frogs, slugs, and chipmunks in the woods. Yeah, garter snake. Lots of things. And yeah, beware that there are plenty of ticks out. Right now, I'm getting more wood ticks than deer ticks. So that, I guess, is encouraging because the wood ticks are so much bigger than the deer ticks that when they walk on you, you can definitely feel their footsteps.
Of course, whenever you mention that, I feel like there are footsteps all over. That's okay. You just got to keep doing tick checks, right?
Yeah, that's right. Just keep doing your tick checks. I wear gaiters soaked in permethrin, and that seems to help. You are listening to 91.7 KEXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and the land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. The next report comes from the North Shore Community School.
Hello from the North Shore Community School on the north shore of Lake Superior. This is the phonology report for the week of May 11, 2024. My name is Chelsea and I'm your phonologist for this week. On Saturday and Sunday, May 11th and 12th, we had a stunning view of the Northern Lights. Northern Lights are caused by magnetic storms that have been triggered by solar activities such as solar flares or by coronal mass ejections. This storm was unusually strong. It was classified as extreme or G5 storm, which is the highest level the Space Weather Prediction Center said Friday evening. It's the first G5 storm to hit our planet since 2003. Miss Urban has a robin nest in her yard, and the robin chicks have scraggly feathers growing on them. Miss Urban's seen white crown sparrows, rose-breasted grosbeaks, goldfinches, evening grosbeaks, and red crossbills. On Wednesday, May 15th, Miss Urban saw yellow warblers, chestnut-sided warblers, and palm warblers foraging in the crowns of the trees at Stony Point. A JMR school custodian spotted an indigo bunting at his bird feeder. The same day, Miss Jackson had a shore visit from a scarlet tanager at her bird feeder. It landed but did not eat any seeds. On Thursday, May 16th, Miss Urban heard a golden-winged warbler singing in the school forest. On Saturday, T. Critter Gross at his cabin by Hibbing, Minnesota. This is the first gross teak has heard this year. On May 11th, the ostrich fern fiddleheads are ready to gather. Plus, bloodroot and Carolina spring beauty are blooming. Ostrich fiddleheads are considered a seasonal delicacy. These ferns have a deep U-shaped growth in the inside of the small stem and papery brown scales covering newly sprouted ferns. Some say they taste a bit like asparagus, broccoli, spinach, or green beans, but it's hard to pinpoint the exact taste of such a special little plant. They are prized for their delicate flavor and crunchy texture. If you find these in a public forest, make sure they are more around to replace missing plants if you choose to harvest this tasty treat. Carolina Spring Beauty is also an edible plant. The roots of the Carolina Spring Beauty are rich in starch, reportedly can be eaten raw or cooked like potatoes. And several Native American groups are said to have used them for this purpose. Do you know that the bloodroot is a fragile spring flower that develops and rises from the center of its curled leaf, opening in full sun and closing at night? It is a member of the poppy family and, like most members, it lasts for a relatively short time. The red juice from the underground stem was used by Native Americans as a dye for baskets, clothing, as well as for insect repellent. The wild plum trees are blossoming around the French River area. Miss Rolfe noticed the first of the plum tree blossoms blooming on May 13th. There are small red leaves growing on the maple trees in the school forest. On May 13th, Mr. View's class found a greenish leech in the stream. Not all leeches feed on humans. You'll have to do more research to find out if this is one of them. This concludes the phonology report. Have a great week and be observant.
Thank you, Chelsea. Nice report. Great report. Those kids get into such depth. I learned so much listening to them. It's just amazing. I had no idea that the Carolina Spring Beauty was an edible plant and that the roots were eaten raw or cooked like potatoes. That is astonishing. I had, as I say, no idea. But then the Carolina Spring Beauty is not a common plant in this part of the state, at least not in my travels. Bloodroot, a beautiful plant. Mine are done flowering for the year. I have lots of big bloodroot leaves as they store energy for next year, but they are not in flower anymore. I love the note about the that not all leeches are feed on humans, and they have a green one, and they're going to do some research to find out if this one is a human feeder or not. I wonder what kid will win that prize. Tommy, come over here. We're going to put this leech on you. If he just crawls up your arm, you're good. If he stops and takes a blood meal, we'll know. I like science. It's fun. And our friend Teak, who heard a grouse drumming by his cabin in Hibbing, they are still drumming, which is kind of amazing. It's been a long season. They started in early April, and they're still going after it. So you never know. I guess it's always good to advertise. It pays to advertise. And the nice note about the ostrich fern fiddleheads, you can still find a few of those. And I like their cautionary note about, you know, checking them out. Make sure you don't get into an area where you wipe out all of them. You want to be able to preserve the supply for next year. It's a bit like asparagus. You don't pick all of the stalks off of a clump. You can, but then you want to leave that clump alone. Just one time through, mow them all off, and then leave that clump for next year. Let it grow and develop and get some strength. It will put up new shoots. You're not taking that away from it, but you want to give it a chance to recover, and it needs to do that by growing up and getting some energy put back in its roots. Our next report comes from Josiah and Cammie, who were attending our phenology workshop at the Nine Mile Creek Watershed District near Eden Prairie.
Hello, this is Josiah.
And Cammie.
We are here at the Nine Mile Creek Watershed District at a phenology workshop with John, Stephen, and Charlie.
Today we observed a blossoming chokecherry tree. Don't be fooled by its pretty white flowers. They look better than they smell.
We also saw a small patch of Jack in the Pulpit in the understory of the trees. Although you might think it's a pitcher plant, this Minnesota native is insect friendly, only borrowing them to pollinate.
Lastly, we spotted a great crested flycatcher doing just what you'd expect it to be doing, catching flies.
We had a great time outdoors.
Have you gotten outside today?
Indeed. Have you? Well, if not, get out there. You may beat the rain, at least here in the Grand Rapids area. We had a couple more from our phenology workshop, Beth and Carol, and this was their report.
It's a beautiful sunny day, May 17th, in Eden Prairie at the 9 Mile Discovery Center. It's breezy and there isn't a cloud in the sky.
The first color observation out the door was a purple blooming lilac shrub. Around the corner, we could smell the delightful fragrance of the mock orange calling in its pollinators.
And then, of course, we also paid attention to those raspberries that are just now leafing out and showing their heads. But they may be small, but they show the promise of nature's dessert being available in the not too distant and not too soon enough future.
The dandelions were in various stages of bloom, from yellow to spreading white seed heads to fruit heads.
One could hear the chuck of red-winged blackbirds, which is conversational in nature, both literally and figuratively, as we listened to at least three individuals who seemed to be replying to each other.
A small white butterfly flew around us as we were observing nature in front of us. Also, a bright green bug landed at our feet, which was identified as a six-spotted beetle. It was metallic green.
All in all, a great May 17th.
Thank you. That was a nice report, interrupted by some loudmouth in the background. I was actually in another room having a conversation, but it just goes to show you, if you're going to submit a report to KAXE for our season, for our talkback segment, make sure I'm not nearby. Or if I am, tell me to shut up.
So, John, this was a workshop you did on Friday for teachers or for anyone?
This was for, these were 4-H leaders and camp counselors.
Oh, cool.
One woman worked with Minnesota Green, and that's a group that meets weekly, and these people are excited about getting kids out and having them do some phenology over the winter. We encourage you, if you are interested in doing phenology.
Did you mean summer?
Summer. I did say winter, didn't I? Goodness gracious.
I mean, we love winter phenology too.
I must have.
Just not today.
Not today, right. That's right. We're a long way from winter, and happily so. We did get a final report from Nate Masakovich's class at Baxter Elementary School. Unfortunately, the audio portion did not come through, but we got a wonderful picture, and Nate and his students are curious as to what we think. Looking at the picture, I see this monstrously fluffy tail, and it looks coyote to me. And the other thing that helps you know if it's a coyote is that sharp pointed ears and the sharp pointed nose. So I'm going with coyote. The picture will be available online.
Yep.
And you can vote coyote, fox, wolf, whatever you think.
That's
neighborhood
right.
Dog.
We love getting some of those photos that you might be taking, whether you have that fancy bird feeder that's getting the close-ups of the birds.
A lot of folks, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I haven't got one, but I'm tempted.
I know. It seems like it would just add a lot of joy to life to be able to see them close up when they're out there on their dates or whatever they might be doing. Or trail cams. Are you seeing stuff? You can always send us the footage. We would love to put it on our website or in our reports or post it on our Susan Watch page on Facebook. Get involved. Let us know what you're seeing in nature. Your what you see inspires other people.
Yeah. You probably have heard, if you've listened over the years, you probably heard Ruth and Axel and Pearl Newstock come on in the summertime when they're visiting up here. They live in Memphis, but in the summer they're up here and they send a report pretty regularly. You can do the same. It's pretty simple. Record it on your phone and send it to us as an attachment to an email. You can send it to comments@kaxe.org. You can send it to me. My address is JLatimer, @kaxe.org. You can send it to Charlie Mitchell, C. Mitchell, CMITCHELL, Mitchell. And that would be the best location because she does all the production, giving me control over production would be I don't know,
a mistake.
Like, it would be a mistake, right? It'd be like putting a pig in charge of driving the bus.